Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, everybody, here we go. It's time for the Friday edition of the Daily 10. Hope you're ready for a great weekend. We have a lot to talk about on this Friday edition of the podcast, including the Falcons being ready now to turn over the keys to Desmond Ridder. We'll tell you what to expect from the rook behind the wheel for the first time. Plus, we'll talk about why Stetson Bennett might actually be a victim of Georgia's success. And a reminder for Braves fans, it's not how much money you spend, rather how you spend it, that is more important. All of that in a moment. First, I'll remind you we're brought to you by Atlanta Sports Trips. Atlanta Sports Trips is the first all-inclusive sports travel service for Atlanta and Georgia sports fans with a goal of getting you to the biggest games that you want to see on the road, combined with 4- and 5-star hotels, very cool pregame parties and meet and greets, hanging with other fans, just great experiences. We will be in New Orleans next weekend to watch Desmond Ridder's first start as the Dirty Birds quarterback, and you still can join us. Availability is still there if you want to join us for a 2-night stay at the JW Marriott, a very cool pregame get-together with Bobby Hebert, a chance to hang out all weekend right there in the French Quarter, and you can book at atlsportstrips.com. The other trip we have up now is our Georgia National Championship trip. We are heading to L.A., but first a stop in Las Vegas, which I think this is going to be so much more enjoyable than paying for the gouging that's going on, the prices of hotels and airfare in L.A. We've got you a 3-night hotel stay at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, January 7th, 8th, and 9th, with round-trip luxury motor coach transportation from the MGM Grand on Monday morning, that's the day of the national championship, to SoFi Stadium in L.A., and back again after the game. Picture a rolling tailgate. You bring food, beverages, TVs are on board, bathrooms. It's going to be a great time taking you to the front door of SoFi Stadium. Game tickets are available for purchase by request. I will be very honest, this is filling up quick, and this will sell out. We are very close to getting to a sellout of all of our rooms and our spots on the motor coach. If you want to book, I would highly recommend you jump on it now at atlsportstrips.com. Book a championship weekend of gambling and football at atlsportstrips.com. If the Dogs don't make the championship game, the trip is fully refundable, so nothing to lose there. Okay, the Falcons are on a bye week, but the news came out yesterday that Desmond Ridder will indeed make his first career start next Sunday in New Orleans. Now, I looked around and couldn't find an early line on the game. I assume with the unknown at quarterback, even though it's been discussed by media members and confirmed that way, I'm sure the books will wait until it's official from the Falcons. I'm going to guess the Falcons will be a 7.5-point underdog, maybe a little bit more. Ridder will be the first Falcons quarterback to make his first NFL start against the Saints since the 5th-round pick Kurt Kitner did it way back in 2003. The Falcons lost that game 45-17. Kurt Kitner in his debut was 8-for-27 for 115 yards with a touchdown and a pick. His stat line is what most rookies will look like in their debut. Be prepared for that. A reminder, Matt Ryan in his NFL debut in 2008, he was just 9-for-13 passing for 161 yards. He did have a touchdown, which came on his very first pass, for 62 yards to Michael Jenkins. Outside of that, Matt was 8-for-12 for 99 yards the rest of the game. If Ridder has a similar stat line, I think the Falcons would jump on it right now. Matt Ryan's second start, he came back down to earth. He was 13-for-33, 2 interceptions in a loss against Tampa. Before Matt, Mike Vick. Mike made his first start in 2001. He went 4-for-12 for 32 yards, a touchdown. He had a fumble. But believe it or not, the Falcons won the game. Mike's second start, he went 12-for-30 passing for 176 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. To give you a little more view of what's happened recently, how about Josh Allen, one of the best quarterbacks in the league? His first start for the Bills as a rookie, he went 6-for-15 for 74 yards, no touchdowns. And even the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, in his first start was 12-of-24 passing for 86 yards, no touchdowns, and no picks. Rookies in their first starts, they're going to look like that most times. Just be prepared for that. But he will get his first start, and I know that excites Falcon fans next Sunday in New Orleans. If you are not heading on the road to go to the game, head on down the road to the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock to enjoy pro football action on a Sunday, your college action, including all your bowl games coming in December and January, your hoops action during the week. What you're going to find is the ultimate sports bar experience at the Daily Draft. I'm talking multi-levels. Great views everywhere. TVs to the left, to the right, to the front, to the back. Right in the center of it is the 9-foot movie-sized screen, which is, I mean, it's a beauty. It really is. With a front row seat, they have a couch like 5 feet in front of it with a table that you can enjoy. Get that space and you've got your football Saturday or Sunday just planned beautifully. You also have a chef-inspired menu, a craft beer bar, self-serve taps. It's the Daily Draft. Go say hello to my friend Sean Daly and the great team at the Daily Draft. Visit them online at thedailydraft.net, or better yet, follow them on their social channels for all the updates of what's going on there on Facebook and Instagram. Now that Georgia is just 22 days away with their matchup against Ohio State in the college football playoff semi at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I checked the line. It's still sitting at 6.5. Georgia opened as a 6.5-point favorite, and it has not moved. To kind of hold you over, I know Georgia fans will have at least one eye on Stetson Bennett tomorrow night on stage in New York City as a Heisman Trophy finalist. And now that we're on the eve of the Heisman Trophy ceremony, I wish I could sway voters one last time, but the votes are already in. So I'll try to win over those who I would either call the Stetson haters or the ones that just don't think he deserves the invite. Now, I could inundate voters with obnoxious text messages, emails, and nonstop ads to either support Stetson's case or just cut down the other candidates, but I won't do that. I know what's happened since the announcement that Stetson was a finalist. Right away, people went to the numbers. He only threw 20 touchdowns. Well, that was a big issue for fans and media. But those same people ignore the fact, or just don't care to look at some of the facts about usage rate with Stetson compared to the other Heisman finalists. Usage rate is a very big deal in this case. In Georgia's 13 games, Stetson Bennett has only had to attempt 10 passes in the second half in four games. Now, in two of those games, Stetson didn't attempt a single pass in the fourth quarter. In three other games, he didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. There's not enough usage right there. It's not Stetson's fault that Georgia was either up so big in games or he was so good early in games to give them a big lead that the coaches decided to stop throwing the ball for one reason or another. To compare Stetson to, let's say, Caleb Williams, USC's quarterback, who I think is going to win the award, let's take a little peek at his final three games. This is Caleb Williams' final three games. Williams attempted 38 passes in the fourth quarter of those three games combined, whereas Stetson threw the ball 35 times in the fourth quarter all season. Stetson threw the ball on average just 9 times a game in the second half this season. 9 times. Caleb Williams' last three games, he threw the ball on average 18 times in the second half. It's double the usage opportunity. Caleb Williams had 5 games this season with over 40 pass attempts in a game, and 3 others where he threw the ball 35 times or more in a game. Caleb Williams also had 10 games with at least 7 rushing attempts. He scored 10 rushing touchdowns in 109 rushing attempts on the season. That's basically a touchdown almost every 11 rushing attempts. Conversely, Stetson Bennett didn't have any games with 7 rushing attempts, but he still scored 7 rushing touchdowns in just 47 total rushing attempts. Folks, Stetson scoring a touchdown on the ground once every 6.7 rushes. This has to do with usage rate. Georgia didn't use Stetson as much as USC used Caleb Williams or TCU's Max Duggan because their teams played higher scoring games, their defenses weren't as good, they needed more out of them in the second half and specifically in the fourth quarter. Nobody's going to dig into those facts. They're just going to pick apart the fact that Stetson didn't have the same numbers, especially the touchdown numbers. The proof is in the pudding, though. I know he's not going to win the award, but he deserves more I think, legitimacy in his Heisman Trophy candidacy than he's getting. All right, let's shift gears and talk about the Braves, as the hot stove, at least for the Braves, has been lukewarm to this point, which I'm not shocked about. Outside of the Dansby Swanson watch, and as we record this podcast at 9 a.m. on Friday, we have no news on Dansby. But outside of Dansby, I thought the Braves and Alex Anthopoulos were going to work more in the margins. A bullpen arm, which they traded for, a bat off the bench, maybe something in left field. I did not think the Braves were going to go anywhere in the starting pitching department, but I've seen a lot of Braves fans who were kind of obsessed with the idea that the Braves should add a starter. There was the Jacob deGrom pipe dream all winter, which I never thought was realistic. There was some Verlander hope from Braves fans, and even now some Carlos Rodon hope. Let's look at this for a second. Justin Verlander just got $43 million a year for 2 years with an option for a third, a vesting option. Jacob deGrom got on average $37 million a year with salaries that will touch $40 million. The Braves, conversely, before the end of the season, signed Charlie Morton to a one-year $20 million deal because they saw a potential value there compared to what it's going to cost on the free agent market for these pitchers. That's why I say it really isn't how much you spend, but rather how you spend and divvy up the money on your roster. I know it doesn't sound realistic, but every team has a spending limit. I don't know what the Mets' limit is, or the Yankees or the Dodgers, but everybody's got a limit. You saw that at the trade deadline last year when the Mets went cheap. They brought in Darren Ruff, and they brought in Daniel Vogelbach and Tyler Naquin when they could have gone out and made a Raisel Iglesias move or some other moves to add more salary. Paul Hembekides of ESPN tweeted, I thought, which is a perfect tweet. The Mets will pay Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander $173 million over the next two seasons. Meanwhile, the Braves will pay Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, Raisel Iglesias, Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies, Michael Harris, and Spencer Strider $171 million over the next two seasons. Alex Anthopoulos has a plan. His plan is, we're going to have a top five payroll. We're going to have a deeper roster, though, than everybody else, because we're not going to be so top heavy where we have to go trade for Tyler Naquin, Daniel Vogelbach, and Darren Ruff. The Braves feel like they have all-stars at five or six positions with potential all-stars at a couple of more. Maybe that will mean that Dansby Swanson isn't here, but as I keep saying, you're not going to have an all-star at every position. It would be great to have that. That's not realistic. And for the Braves spending their money the way they have, it affords them a deeper roster, which if somebody gets hurt or a player doesn't have the kind of season you're hoping for, other guys can pick it up. Where you're, if you're the Angels or some of these other teams who are so top-heavy on their salary system, same thing with the Mets, you better hope you don't get off years or injuries because you don't have the depth to handle it. It's a fascinating part of the offseason and how the Braves are putting their roster together, short and long-term, compared to some other teams around Major League Baseball. All right, now would be the time of the podcast I would ask you guys to please subscribe or follow the pod on any of your favorite podcast platforms. We're available in all the above. For My reasons, if you would, please just follow along on the Daily 10 feed. That'll guarantee you get it no matter what podcast platform you're on. Or just search up my name. It's Matt Chernoff, just to get it waiting for you each and every day. I will talk to you next this afternoon in Atlanta, 2 o'clock on 680 The Fan. We're back again Monday for the next edition of the Daily 10.
Subscribe to the Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.